Good morning. Our question today is if there are guests that are at a shul, for example, they come for Shabbos, they had no other place to be, are they permitted to eat in the shul itself or not? I actually had a situation when I was younger that I was going to Shabbaton and we hit tremendous traffic going from Los Angeles to San Diego and only made it to the shul right at Shkia, so we weren't able to get to any of the places we were staying for Shabbos, and we had all of our stuff, so we couldn't carry anything on Shabbos, so we were stuck sleeping and eating in the shul for Shabbos. Now there, the situation was they had other rooms that we could sleep and eat in, but what if that's not the situation? What if the only place to eat and to sleep would be in the shul itself? So we're going to start off with a Gemara in Psachim that says, Orchim Achlu v'shasu v'ganu b'bei k'nishta. Guests are permitted to eat, drink, and to sleep in the shul itself. That's Gemara in Psachim Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. But that conflicts directly with the Gemara we've seen on a number of occasions in Megillah that says, Batei k'nesias ein ochlim b'hem v'en shosim b'hem. Shuls, you're not allowed to eat and you're not allowed to drink in it. So which is it? On the one hand, you can't eat in them. On the other hand, the Gemara in Psachim says, guests, maybe they're different. It just says guests do eat, drink, and sleep in a shul. So Tosfos asks this question, and we're going to see a number of reconciliations between these two Gemaras. The first one is brought by Tosfos, who says, really, the guests did not eat, drink, and sleep in the shul. They ate, drank, and slept in a cheder, in a room next to the shul. It was next door to the shul, but we are not permitted to eat, drink, or sleep inside a shul. So that is the approach of Tosfos. How do you reconcile these two Gemaras? The Tosfos Rid brings a different approach. He rivals a Gemara that we've seen that the shuls in Bavel were built on a condition that they're allowed to use them, for example, for eating and drinking. And accordingly, based on that, the Orchim, the guests, are allowed to eat in the shul. So that, as we've discussed in the past, that applies only to Bavel or only Chutz Laretz, not to Eretz Yisrael, according to most poskim, and that's how we poskim. And in addition, it applies in particular if you made that condition. According to many poskim, if you didn't make that condition when building the shul, you don't have the permit to eat or drink or sleep inside the shul. So that's the Tosfos Rid's first of two answers that he brings. The first one, again, is that because it was built on Tanai and a condition, that is, we're talking about Bavel and Chutz Laretz. Accordingly, the Orachim could eat and drink and sleep in the shul, but in other circumstances, it would indeed not be permitted. And then the Tosfos Rid brings his second explanation. It's our overall third one. We had Tosfos and we had the Tosfos Rid. And now the second one from the Tosfos Rid says, you know, I really think that the proper answer, I don't like the first answer. He says that we're talking about Bavel and it was all Tanai. That's a dochak. That's not a good answer. But rather, we're talking about even shuls inside Eretz Yisrael. This applies specifically to people who are guests. It does not apply to the people who live in town. They cannot eat in the shul. But Orchim, guests, are mutter to eat in the shul. Why? He explains as follows. So, kol ikar asiyasa mitchila al das chenasin. Those shuls, even in Eretz Yisrael, were built with the understanding, with the condition, that guests would be permitted to eat and drink and sleep in the shul. So that second explanation of the Tosfos Rid, the third explanation overall, is specific for guests. It's not for everyone. And it applies even in Eretz Yisrael. Our fourth explanation is brought by the Smag, bringing the Yerushalmi, that says, Sudas Mitzvah, we are permitted to eat in a shul. And the Suuda of Shabbos is a Sudas Mitzvah. This is really one of the broadest explanation we've seen. So that would apparently apply not only in Chutz Laretz, but in Eretz Yisrael as well, as long as it's a Suudas Mitzvah, including the Suud on Shabbos. So that would apply apparently not only to Orchi, not only to guests, but others as well. If it's a Suudas Shabbos, it's a Suudas Mitzvah. And the fifth explanation, the Ran and Maram Chalawa say as follows, when you have something that's Litzorech Rabim, when you have a need not of an individual, but for the Rabim, and feeding guests is indeed a Tzorech of the Rabim. Why? Because the city, the people in the city have an obligation to make sure that their Orchim, that the guests, are indeed taken care of. So continuing in a similar vein, the Tshuva's Beis Mordechai gives another very fascinating explanation why it would be mutter for Orchim, for guests in particular, to eat in a shul and a beis medrash. He says as follows, the mitzvah, as we know, of hachnasas orachim is such a great mitzvah. It's actually a bigger mitzvah than hashkamas beis medrash, going to the beis medrash early in the day, and even being makabel b'nei hashchina. And in fact, it's one of the things, Shadam ochel peroseim b'olam hazeh, v'keren kayemes olam haba. Literally, we eat the fruits in this world, but we have the principle for us in the world to come as well. And accordingly, when it comes to feeding guests, it is considered a sudas mitzvah. It's such a powerful mitzvah. It's a sudas mitzvah. Accordingly, it's permitted to feed guests, and the guests can eat and drink in the Beis Knesset. They can eat and drink in the shul because it is a sudas mitzvah. So that is the approach of Beis Mordechai, similar to what we saw before by the Smak. That was our fourth reconciliation of the two Gemaras. But the Teshuva Sridayesh disagrees, and he says the heter for orchim, for guests to eat in a shul, is not because it's a sudas mitzvah. He says it's simply because they have nowhere else to eat. It's a shas adchak, a time of exigent circumstances. If they had a place to eat elsewhere, they should eat elsewhere. But if they don't have a place to eat elsewhere, they can, because of that, eat in the shul. But it's not because it's a sudas mitzvah. Why? Because the mitzvah of hachnasas orchim, he says, is on people to feed them, to feed the guests. It's not a mitzvah of hachnasas orchim for the guests themselves to eat in the shul. That's for other people to take care of them. So accordingly, this would not be a sudas mitzvah because we have to take care of the guests in hachnasas orchim. That is not the situation. So based on this Sridayesh, this heter only applies to guests who have no other place to eat. But if even the guests have another place to eat, it would not apply to them, and certainly would not apply to other mitzvahs or other people who are not orachim eating in the shul. So based on all of this, we see that we have a number of explanations as to these two Gemaras, but we see based on a number of them that we indeed do have limitations eating in shul. Is it only in chutz laretz? Is it only when there was a tanai? Is it only outside the shul, like the first explanation we saw? Or is it possibly broader, that if it's a sudas mitzvah? With that, it was the broadest explanation, so that it would apply even in Eretz Yisrael. So it seems to be that these opinions are all over the board with various nafkaminas in them. And this, in fact, is an introduction to many questions that we will have in the coming days about if there's a prohibition to eat or drink in a shul. How about having a drink of water in the shul? Or how about having wine after Kiddush in shul, or Havdalah in shul, or Bris Milah in shul? And then talking about Suda Shlishis in shul, or other mitzvahs, snacks, meals, etc. in shul. So Amir Chashem, we will talk about each of those specifically in the days to come. Have a wonderful day.